Welcome to the Powered Services Podcast, your go-to source for all things MSP. Each episode, we're diving deep into the world of MSPs, exploring cutting-edge solutions, strategies, and insights that empower you to supercharge your services. Join us as we connect with industry experts, thought leaders, and tech visionaries who are reshaping the managed services landscape. Plug in, power up, and prepare to elevate your MSP game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Dan Tomaszewski.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Powered Services Podcast, and Happy New Year to everybody. 2025 is officially upon us, and we have got awesome and exciting things for 2025 on the Powered Services Podcast. We are going to dive in, continue to bring industry experts, leaders, you, the MSPs on this podcast, to share all the different initiatives, best practices, and things that you're doing to grow your MSPs. So we can share that with this community. And like, this community is so awesome. We work together, we share, we help each other. We help each other grow. And we're going to do that this year on the Powered Services Podcast. So if you've got a great idea, you want to be on the show, you want to share that with this community, bring that. I am truly blessed that we have over 7,000 active listeners every week to this podcast. Would not be where it is without you. And I just want to say thank you to you all as we look forward to kicking off this first episode, which I'm super excited for. I talk to people all the time that start to implement as they grow. And you maybe are a one or two man shop right now, and you're not going to be right here, but I think it's a really good episode to hear because it's going to give you perspective as you grow, how these two different areas work hand in hand, which is sales and marketing. We have like the account executive motion, and then you have the marketing motion. And a lot of people, they struggle in getting those two pieces to work together to really maximize the value for the business and to really see and have the momentum that they're looking for. So I've got two great people today from the PCA Technology Group that are going to walk through this with us. And we're going to talk through how the account executive motion works with the marketing motion and all those exciting and awesome things that they're doing and some of the results from it. So I'll kick it off. We have Chelsea Heary, account executive with PCA Technology Group. Chelsea, welcome. Excited to have you on.
Thanks, Dan. We are excited to be here. Really excited. I've been with PCA about a year and a half now, and really excited to talk about our role and how even how Kaseya and Datto has played into how these relationships and how our marketing and sales kind of has gone hand in hand with some of these events. So also really excited. We have been with PCA for the last couple of years, but PCA is moving in a really exciting direction. We're going to be known as Netrio going forward. So exciting things to come in 2025 with that. Definitely more news to roll out in the next little bit.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And congratulations to you guys on that. And we have Jenna Gennard, marketing consultant. Jenna, welcome. We're really excited to have you on as well.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Dan. Really appreciate it. We're definitely big believers, like you said, in marketing and sales alignment here. Big believers in having that multi-channel, consistent marketing approach. So very excited to dive into it today.
Yeah, look, this episode, I've been super excited leading up to this episode, knowing that we're going to have you both on to talk through this. So maybe we walk through a little bit about each of your roles, like what you're doing at the company. I mean, you kind of just told people how long you've been there and like what you're doing. So let's start. Chelsea, maybe I'll go with you. Kick us off in terms of like what your role is. And then Jenna, I'll come to you and we'll do the same thing just so people kind of get an idea of what your role is in the company. And that way we can start to dive into that multi-channel marketing strategy.
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, I'm an account executive here at PCA and now Netrio. And what my main role is really to be kind of the hunter of the group. So there's a couple of us here as the sales team has grown and the marketing team. I'm the hunter, so I go out, whether that's doing the cold calls or the emails and trying to find that new business to bring into the company. That's been these events that we've been doing that we're going to dive into today. Those have been really beneficial in getting in front of people and helping to bring in that business. But I'm one of the headhunters in finding that.
Awesome. Jenna, how about you?
Yeah, so the marketing arm really encompasses everything from, email campaigns, social media, in-person events, webinars. We wear a lot of different hats. And at the center of that is, of course, working closely with the sales team, like Chelsea. So having those weekly huddles and kind of making sure that we're all aligned on the past campaigns that have went out and kind of what's to come.
Awesome. So let's get into a little bit, like you mentioned it, and I just said it here a little bit ago, which is, why is a multi-channel marketing strategy critical, to pull off a successful event? Because we're going to get into an event that you guys did that absolutely knocked it out of the park, for you guys. And I know that you want to share some of that to us. But why is multi-channel marketing strategy critical? Who wants to start us off on that one?
Yeah, I can jump right into that. So I mentioned, we're a big believer in having a consistent and multi-channel marketing approach. And anyone who has hosted an event already knows how much goes into it, of course. But it's so true when they say you really have to have all of your cylinders firing. And for us, that has meant, the pre-event activities, which includes the creation of the promo materials, making sure they look sharp, and you are sending those out through all of your marketing channels, making sure sales is equipped with the content they need to be able to grab and go and spread the word. And then it's working closely with the internal team to kind of get the logistics of the venue down, of course, but keeping the focus on the customer experience. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we put forth over the years is, how are we going to drive engagements at the events themselves? And we have a big focus on, the customer experience, and that can be having that incentive for maybe it's a raffle to encourage people to book a meeting with us at the event to learn more. It might be more of an intimate networking setting at the local venues. And then after that, though, the most important part, I think, is the post-event activity. So we're always making sure that there's like a follow-up plan in place to capture that registration attendance, keep close tabs on the interest that came from the event. And we follow up even with surveys to ask how the event went. We provide additional resources on the topic, and we really use the marketing and sales approach to that. And of course, Chelsea can kind of speak to the sales side on how she does that personally.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that Jenna touched on, even just when she's starting to, when we're looking at the beginning of an event and we're creating that marketing material, one of the things what we'll do is even just put a banner or something like that in our signature. So all of the people on our sales team will put that banner under our signature, so that that's going to link straight to the event page. Little things like that where we're starting right off the bat to work hand in hand together to make sure that that's coming together the way we like. But yeah, the customer experience, like Jenna touched on, that's been really the most important part. Whether we're having gift bags at events, or we did an event called Bourbon and Bubbles a couple months back where we made sure every guest that came had a whole gift bag full of chocolates that we did for the bourbon tasting, bourbon samples, different things that make it worth their time. They're going to come and get an educational piece with the vendors that we're working with, but they're going to leave with something as well outside of that knowledge that they got.
Look, that's so important. We talk a lot about this, and I think you guys hit on a couple things I want to highlight is most MSPs fail in the early stage of getting people registered. A lot of people have these high ambitions to go out there, they do an event, and we all get motivated to do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's nobody attending. I got nobody coming to my event, which could just really bring down the morale. And everyone's like, the excitement to do this is no longer there. And then the second thing that I heard was the post-event. So I think those are the two top areas where people miss. It's the work that goes in to get people to come to the event, because you got to get the right people, you got to get the right audience. And then it's the post-event is you can throw a really awesome event and get nothing out of it. But it's that post-event follow-up and how you guys communicate and all of that. Those two things are absolutely critical for success. And just a lot of times, don't get me wrong, the middle is really important too. You got to have really good content and all that. But assuming those things are there, those I think are the two hardest things that I hear MSPs say that they struggle with the most.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The pre and post event activities are key. And also, marketing and sales, again, working together, not sales leaning on marketing or marketing leaning on sales too much to drive that registration. Both having kind of skin in the game helps as well.
Yeah. And then you talked about another thing, which I think is just really awesome, is the experience when you're there, and like the gift bags, and like having it kind of seem like almost like a premium swag, right? Like it's not just your pen or pencil, it's thought through. And I think people really respect that because they are taking time out of their day to come and attend something. And the ability of whether it's a meal, whether it's drinks, whether it's a bag of goodies and things, those are the things that get people to remember you, and that experience when you're there. So You already have given out two or three really good nuggets, and I just like to call those out as I hear them, because I think those are things that people, when they're putting these events on, they don't always think about like the gift bags being premium. It's more like, oh, just put a pen, paper, or something in there. But you really thought through that. So kudos to you guys on that. Now let's get into this event if we can here a little bit. And like leading up to this, how do both of you collaborate to ensure these different elements of the multi-channel are cohesive and aligned? Because it's easy when I'm one person and I just go, I got an event and I'm only by myself, I can go do it. But as I expand my team and I have different roles like this, how do you guys make sure that everything stays aligned and work together?
Yeah, I can touch on that a little bit too. I think one of the biggest things, and this is for pre and post event, it's just even the time allotted before and afterwards as well. Having that, Jenna will touch on it, I'm sure too. There's kind of a threshold of a certain amount of weeks. I believe it's about two or so weeks out that we really start kind of, actually it might even be more than that, but that we really start hounding people, because you know we're all working on different projects all at different times as well. So we're all doing our daily reach outs and we're all working on with our clients who might be in the middle of proposals. And so when an event comes up like this, it's kind of all hands on deck. So it can't just be marketing and it can't just be sales. Jenna gives us the tools that we need to go out and kind of blast, whether that's to our prospects or to our current clients. And we make sure that we're making a certain amount of phone calls or email reach outs and making sure that we're putting people in those seats, and that all the work that she's doing on the back end is going to be worth the time.
Yeah, no, I agree, Chelsea. And I will add, I mean, we have marketing and sales, you know, weekly huddles, which I think are so important to note, because that makes sure, you know, that we're aligned. We pull up the marketing calendar, we look at how many people are signed up for the event, even pre-event, of course, even up to 8 weeks in advance, we try to make sure that we have all the promo materials ready to go, grab and go content. And actually, Powered Services Pro has been a huge help for that with us. Like, that's something that we have bookmarked, that we have ready to go. And depending on the topic of the event, whether it's cybersecurity or what have you, we can go in there, we can customize content, we can cater it to the event and the logistics, and then we can kind of shoot that out through all the channels, like we mentioned. So the email, the newsletters, the social media, all those different tactics. And so just making sure that you have kind of the playbook up front and that everyone knows where to go to kind of grab the promo materials, and then making sure that we keep a close pulse on a weekly basis to make sure that we're all driving registration.
Yeah, it's super important. Like, you know, when we're doing these things, we can't just go put a date out there in a registration email and hope, right? Like, you guys said it, you're doing huddles, you're talking, you're making sure everyone's got the right materials. And, you know, it's not, how many hours do you think it takes and consumes? Like, is, let's say I'm a small MSP, say I only have like 3 or 4 people, but I'm putting on an event, like how much time and effort do I need to put in weekly to drive, you know, attendance at an event? What would you guys say?
I'd be curious, yeah, the sales perspective on that, Chelsea. I know in terms of obviously the creation of the promo materials and everything, obviously it's several hours that go into that and the logistics, and working with someone internally that can help be kind of an admin to make sure that we get all those logistics in place, of course, time goes into that as well. But then in terms of the outreach, if you have those templates built out, you have them built into our CRM and our different things that you're able to kind of execute on, that definitely helps streamline and get things going a lot faster.
So Chelsea, is that what you guys use? You guys use the templates that are built in there and you just go through your prospects and customers and hit those out?
Yeah, a lot of times we have a sales coordinator as well. And sometimes she'll even put those templates into our CRM system. And that way we can click on our prospects and our clients, and we can kind of blast that out that way. Or we can also personalize it and send it out individually as well. But I think the one thing that we do on our team too is, if we have an event that might be, say we're targeting 20 seats to fill or 20 people to come, we know that if we break that up between us, that might be 2 or 3 that we have to each get ourselves. And someone might grab more than that or someone might grab less, but it takes a little bit of pressure off. So if we break it down like that, it kind of makes it seem like a more attainable goal. And then if we go above it, then we can adjust from there.
Okay. So let's go behind the scenes then a little bit, if we can, if you'll be willing to take us behind the scenes of a kind of like a recent event with you guys. So what did the pre-event promotion look like across the different channels? And then how did your post-event follow-up strategies help maintain that engagement, you know, to drive further results? So let's take people through the journey. Let's take a recent event you have, and then let's talk through what did it look like.
Yeah, I can talk through the Business in a Box Oktoberfest. That was one that we did recently a couple months back. And we did that around the Oktoberfest time and really just kind of tried to ride with the theme. One of the account executives actually on my team, he had an idea to kind of bring some businesses together locally in the area. So we kind of started getting together and reaching out to different local companies, that booking the venue, we had to do that ahead of time, getting all those businesses in on that. And we try to also ask them to invite people as well. So it was a multi-channel approach, just even from the other businesses that we were bringing in. But anything from, we had account executives and people that were dressing up part of the theme. We brought in different vendors from different events that we've used in the past. So a different local brewery here that we brought in. So I think that was all really helpful with just nailing down the venue, nailing down the different clients that you're bringing in, nailing down the vendors that you specifically are trying to highlight. I think that's all really helpful in that pre-event activities too.
Yeah. And like Chelsea said, you know, anytime you can tie in the season and awareness month, so that's going to help you expand your reach. And so we did Oktoberfest. So of course we had the steins and the pretzels and all those fun things. And then we had the local community coming together and just different areas. We had insurance firms, marketing firms, HR firms, construction companies, like just different areas for a business in a box kind of concept. And again, a more intimate kind of networking setting for us to really come together and kind of make our way around. And if you visited each booth, you know, you got a stamp on your passport and so forth. And obviously we just are trying to encourage engagement at the end of the day. And October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So anytime you can also capitalize on that, that was a huge call to action for us.
So you guys put a lot into this one. I mean, this isn't like a small event, right? Like this is, you're bringing, like you said, the business in a box, you're bringing all the different key, you know, other businesses that, you know, fit those different areas. And it took time. I mean, you guys got to go get those companies on top of then getting the other companies and the come. Now, do you guys promote for the business in a box, like the other companies that were coming in to also invite people to this, or was it only to the invite list from you guys?
Yeah, we did. So we actually got every business involved, and that was actually part of the upfront strategy, was to kind of make sure we could leverage their networks, whether it was their mailing list, their newsletters, their customers, of course, you know, their LinkedIn posts and different things. And so every time we would make a post, we'd make sure that we tag them. We'd give little spotlights and shout outs. So we definitely want to give them the exposure that they deserve as well. And then they return the favor for us. And we actually gave them all the materials to post in advance as well. And of course, speaking of lessons learned, like we always look back and we say, like, I'd start even sooner. I'd start even more than 8 weeks so that we can all really kind of expand our reach even further. Cause we saw even just in probably 6 weeks of planning, how much exposure we really drove with that, which was great. We had over 100 people in attendance.
Yeah. 100 people in attendance, people coming, you're building your list, you're getting your name, you're getting your brand out there with all the other businesses, and they see everybody promoting it. Like it's a win-win for everybody involved. So like, it's a great way. We talk about it a lot on this podcast as a center of influence. You had a lot of center of influences, right? Like the different companies that were there and the relationships that you made. So a lot goes into it, but then, you know, it sounds like you just said the event was pretty successful, had 100 and some odd people there. What is your post-event follow-up strategies, you know, and how do you guys maintain that engagement? So I come to your guys' event, I have a great time. What's next?
Yeah. So on the marketing side, we did a survey, which we got great feedback on, and we actually have a lot more organizations that are interested in doing it in 2025, which was great off the bat. But then we also sent additional resources to them based on like the topics that they engaged with at the event. So we had different stations about cybersecurity and different solutions. So we just sent white papers, infographics, kind of some other kind of free resources that they can leverage, even self-assessments and some other kind of tangible assets. And then of course we provided that list to Chelsea and the team in terms of their outreach. And Chelsea, you can kind of speak to what that looks like in terms of touches.
Yeah, we definitely want to make sure that we're not dropping the ball on that and sending out those emails directly following up with those events. I was talking to Jenna about this recently, and just I think there should be even almost like a week period that you really focus on. You know, you drive so much ahead of time that there should be a week focus, maybe even after the event, that you're making sure you're hitting at least a certain amount of times those people that attended the event, maybe ones that didn't attend the event, that you can follow up with them and still kind of say, well, hopefully we'll see you next time. Just ways to get different touches. And again, just getting in front of people so that you're not falling out of mind. It was good to get them in front of you, and now you don't want them to forget about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, being in Buffalo too, I will add, like, we have other marketing campaigns that are kind of working in tandem with these events. So, like, we have a Tech to Protect contest where we give away Buffalo Bills tickets every year. And there's a lot of ways that you can get involved with that. And, like, signing up for an event or a webinar, like, those are things that get you involved. So even after the event, if we had some winners for tickets, we'll print out the big Buffalo Bills tickets. We'll deliver that to them, you know, in person. We'll kind of tell them what's upcoming on our event calendar. So we kind of try to keep it moving and cohesive with the other marketing campaigns that we have going on too.
What do you guys hear, you know, when the people that are done, like, so you said the surveys are giving you really good answers and things. And when you're making the phone calls, like, did they love the event and they talk about it? And how does that lead to a conversation then? Like, you know, do you find that they're leading to conversations right away? Or Jenna, you mentioned it's a longer term strategy. You got to keep making sure that the social media, the touch points, the emails, and those things continue post-event, not just for that event, but for other things that you're doing. Do you see, Chelsea, on your end, that really warms people up to having more conversations? Or are they coming out of the event going, hey, I want to learn more?
Yeah, I think we've seen different results from different types of events that we've held too. We held one that was more of like a client appreciation event a couple months back as well, where we had vendor stations. And that was where we used Kaseya and Datto's passport idea as well. So we made sure that people were going to engage with the vendors that we had brought to this event. And by booking a meeting, you got extra stickers and extra entries into winning those Bills tickets. So we really were pushing booking those meetings on the spot, making sure that we had those follow-ups. And that way we knew that they weren't just going to kind of go from station to station and we weren't going to hear back from them. So that was another way that we kind of drove that follow-up engagement, is even just to increase their chance of entries for those Bills tickets. So yeah, finding ways like that. But yeah, I think it just depends on the event. So that one was kind of, you kind of knew what you're going to get because you're booking meetings before you walked out the door. Other times, depending on the topic, depending on the vendor that you might be bringing in, if they have a specific need right then, you might get that instant feedback. But other times you're going to have to just kind of keep staying on them and making sure you're doing those follow-ups.
Yeah, I agree. I would say it's common. You get a couple of low-hanging fruit that kind of come out of it right off the bat, but it really does take that nurturing phase to kind of see more conversions. And that's why in the marketing arm, we try to really make sure that we equip them with everything they need in terms of the follow-up templates and extra collateral and drip campaigns and even automation too. Of course, everything in marketing right now, looking into automation, making it easier for sales reps to have that visibility and everything. And we've even seen some events we have in Q1, and then we see even more results come in fruition Q3, Q4. So it definitely varies based on like the sales marketing kind of touch points.
So Jenna, I'm going to put you on the spot. I knew I didn't talk to you about this in the green room, but you said something interesting. Is so you're telling me you can't just send one email or one social post and like millions of leads are going to come in. Like, it's all about consistency and a strategy. I mean, I'm hearing a common theme with everything we've talked about so far, is that you have to plan it, you have to strategize, you have to talk about it, you have to look at your results. But if you put that effort in, it seems like the results are coming.
That is 100% accurate. You can't throw things at the wall hoping it sticks when it comes to marketing. And we've really kind of seen the proven process with that. And that's why you have to have that marketing calendar, and you have to really be religious with it and looking at it and have that marketing and sales alignment to make sure that we didn't just do a campaign on cybersecurity this month and no one followed up with it. You really have to have those touch points. And then when you look back on that, you can make some really good informed decisions, especially if you have the data and the tracking in place to say, like, we launched this email campaign in Q1. Here's what it produced by Q3. SEO, inbound leads. There's so many different things that you can put in place in terms of reporting to be able to see how that works to a T if you do it right.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, literally we talk all the time and everyone goes, well, marketing doesn't work. I brought in zero leads, or I brought in very little, unqualified and all of that. And it just means that you're misaligned. It just really, look, you got to go back and look at your strategy. Even with events, you can go throw really awesome events and nobody shows up because you targeted the wrong people in your communication and the types of messages that you're putting out there. You're putting out messages that are for manager level instead of C-level people, and the C-level people aren't excited to come to it. All of these things matter for the success. So it's so important that when you listen to what they've been saying throughout this podcast, is your strategy, you got to understand the persona of who you're dealing with. And that's first and foremost. You got to know who you want. That's the blueprint. And then you build around it and you market to them. And then if you need to, you don't give up after a month. You don't give up after 2 months. You don't give up after three. It's a constant thing. It needs to have consistency, and you just need to align your messaging with who you want. So it's really valuable stuff that we're talking about today, because I think sometimes everyone goes, oh, they make it sound easy. No, it's not. You can hear a lot of things that are in here. They're working weeks and weeks out from events. They're sending emails, communications, making sure the staff is aware, having huddles around it. All of those things are critical for the event's success, but they also don't give up. They're continuing to move through those motions. So really like those things that you guys called out there. So let's go back and look at this event. You know, what was the most valuable lesson you learned? And what advice would you offer to MSPs that are trying to plan, let's say, a similar lunch and learn or something to that? You know, what would you guys give as a lesson learned? But hey, if you're going to go do this, think about this. Well, who wants to go first for this one? All right, Chelsea.
I can go first. Yeah, I think just touching back on the time element of it and just really making sure you're giving yourself enough time beforehand. I think we had so many great ideas that came together for this specific event that we were referencing. And it kind of came together pretty quickly. So it was all hands on deck with that. But I think the more time, like Jenna said, there was a great response. But even just learning from the first year of doing this, if you gave yourself even a few more weeks, you're going to just drive that even further. And working with those new businesses who may not have experienced an event like this that we were spearheading, now they're going to be more experienced. They're going to know how to drive getting people to that event as well. So I think time is one of the biggest elements in getting that information out there.
Yeah, I will echo that because I think it can't be emphasized enough. Like, time is so important. It impacts every part of the marketing and the sales funnel. So going back to what you just said, the kind of common thread and theme of this is consistency in the marketing and sales alignment. So thinking that you have to start way ahead in advance, like right now, especially for the start of the new year, I like to even plan out 90 days in advance what the campaigns are going to be looking like digitally. But if it's an event, we definitely want to be thinking about even Q3 right now and just get ahead of it in terms of the logistics and the templates and how you're going to really promote and target the right people, to your point, Dan. So I would definitely say time and consistency, but definitely having that close pulse with marketing and sales to make sure you're on the same page and you're not kind of swimming in your own swim lanes, because that has definitely been a key component to our success, is making sure that we're all rowing in the same direction and that we're focused on the customer experience. And that has helped us a lot.
That's awesome. And I really think that everything that you guys are talking about, you know, the time, the strategy, the consistency, I mean, it's just been very valuable. And I think a lot of people on here, you might be listening today and you might be a one-person MSP. You don't have to go out there and run an event for 100 people. You can go run an event for 5, 10, 15 people and still be really successful. You can run a webinar. One of my best webinars I've ever done had one person attend, and it was the right one person. It was an insurance company that was looking to get forever, and she attended, and I gave the best webinar speech I could. And, you know, it worked out. So it doesn't always have to be to hundreds of thousands of people. You can't get discouraged, and you got to learn from things. If you go run an event and you said it wasn't good, we only had 5 people show up, crappy event, never doing it again, it's not the right answer. It's how do I get 10 people to the next one? How do I get 15, 20 people to the next one? Go back, research, listen to what your surveys are, listen to the people and the feedback they've given you, what they got out of it, do your follow-up strategy, see what's going on, and use that information for the future. Because it's what you heard here today is they're using that data, they're understanding those things, and then they're making their next event more successful. Are you guys planning more events for 2025? I mean, I imagine there's a bunch in the books for you guys.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. We definitely want to, of course, replicate kind of what works and then even improve it and kind of take it to the next level. So Oktoberfest, the business in a box, tech to protect, all those things. Definitely. I can see coming back.
Awesome. Well, any last piece of advice that you'd like to leave our listeners before we wrap this up and send it off? This has been really awesome.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having us, Dan. I mean, I will say we have a saying on our team. It's teaming with the right people gets you to the right places. Chelsea knows that. She probably hears it all the time internally at the office. And we know it takes a village, and it really is, you know, it's the marketing, the sales, the customers, but it's also our partners like Kaseya too. And we get so much support from your team and tools and everything, which has been a huge help. So my other tip would be to really lean into that and kind of the tools and the strategy and the partners that you have on your side too, because that helps these events be successful as well.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that as well. I mean, I don't know if we've had one event where we haven't leaned on our vendor partners as well, whether one event that we did that I kind of co-emceed was with a vendor partner of ours, and we kind of fed off each other. And So they're learning helpful tips from them. I'm kind of helping facilitate, and it just, everybody benefits in the end. The clients and the prospects are learning. So yeah, just teaming with the right people and making sure everybody's on board. Our sales team here at PCA, we've always, when we have an event, everybody is all hands and all in. So we really drive that collectively as a team, and that's why our results turn out the way they do.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, look, it's still early in the year, right? We're only a few days into the new year, everyone. So you can still reach out to your vendors, reach out to us at Kaseya. We have a great MDF program. We'd love to help you, whether it's through funds, whether it's swag, whether it's funds, swags, and people coming out, like Chelsea's talking about. There's so many different ways that we can help support you. So it's a great tip to leave everybody on, is leverage those MDF dollars and MDF knowledge. Because just people understanding what goes on at an event, it can really help take it and move it to the next level. So I just want to thank you to both of you. This has been great having you on and sharing this. And hopefully some of our listeners today, that you took away something that you can go and put into your business. But I want to say thank you to both of you for kicking off 2025 with us. And I want to bring you guys back and let's do like a mid-year thing and see how things are going and catch up, because I think it'll be great to show people what the event strategy is, how it's changing or how it's growing for the business.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. The year is just getting started, so we'd love to come back. Sounds great.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Powered Services Podcast with Dan Tomaszewski. We hope you're leaving with your mind buzzing with new ideas and strategies to revolutionize your MSP offering. Don't forget to subscribe for more insights. And join us next time as we continue to decode the complexities of managed services. Until then, keep powering through. And remember, the future of MSP is bright and fully charged. Thank you for listening, and stay connected.